This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today's sermon is based on Jesus' letter to the church in a city called Thyatira. However, as you've heard me say for the past several Sundays, what Jesus says to this church is also meant for the ears of all churches of all times and places. Therefore, Jesus also writes this letter to us, the church in Jamestown. The title for today's sermon is, Dear Hold On, which is based on these words of Jesus, Hold on to what you have until I come. Now those words, hold on, are meant to give us encouragement and hope when we feel defeated and when we struggle with fear. Those words, hold on, assure us that our battle is not in vain, because we will overcome if we hold on to Jesus and His Word. Jesus begins his letter as follows. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now it almost seems odd that Jesus would describe himself with such images. What's he doing? Well, basically, Jesus is using images from the Old Testament book of Daniel. If you read the book of Daniel, Daniel uses images like this to point ahead to the glory and the power and the authority of Jesus, the Son of God. And what is Daniel trying to communicate? Simply put, he is trying to say that in spite of all the evil in this world, Jesus is still in control. Next, Jesus goes on to give the church in Thyatira a compliment. Jesus' all-seeing eyes are very aware of their strong faith. He is aware of their sincere love, and he is aware of their dedicated endurance, even in the face of persecution. In fact, Jesus says that they have matured in their faith, and that they are doing more good works now than when they first believed. However, there is one problem that does not escape Jesus' eyes. The Christians in Thyatira are tolerating evil in their congregation. Now, the faithful Christians are not encouraging or participating in this evil, but they are not confronting it or opposing it either. This is not good, because Christians of all times and places should be concerned about the spiritual well-being of other Christians in their midst. Now the question is, what is this evil that Jesus hates? Well, Jesus speaks of a woman named Jezebel. Now who was she, you might wonder? Well, Jezebel, if you read your Old Testament, Jezebel was a false prophetess in northern Israel who lived during the days of Elijah the prophet. Jezebel was the wife of King Ahab, the king of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And what did Jezebel do? Well, she encouraged her husband to turn away from the Lord. Even worse, Jezebel encouraged her husband to lead his people into the worship of false gods and also into sexual immorality that was so common among the unbelievers around them. Well, jump ahead several hundred years later to the day of the Church of Thyatira, and what do we find? Some Christians in the Church of Thyatira were worshiping idols. Oh, they were coming to church on Sunday, but they were worshiping idols the rest of the week. And they were also participating in the sexual immorality so common in their culture. Therefore, Jesus gives these false Christians a name. He calls them Jezebel. Jesus says that he's been patient with them. I'm sure Jesus sent other people there to say what needed to be said since the people in Thyatira were not doing it. Jesus is clear that he had given these Jezebel Christians more than enough time to repent. But instead, they deliberately turned away from God's word, and they pursued the secret teachings of Satan. Now, what does that mean, the secret teachings of Satan? Simply put, Jesus is saying that behind every false religion, behind every lie, lurks the devil and his deceptions. Now, these Christians in Thyatira should have been clinging to the word of Christ, and they should have been avoiding the sin in their community. But instead, they deliberately sought out the secret teachings of these idols because they were curious about them. They maybe found some of these false teachings appealing. They also probably watched how the unbelievers in their community were living, especially their sexual immorality. And sadly, these Christians decided that they wanted to do the same thing. Well, Jesus then says that he will discipline them severely. Now, here is one of many examples where Jesus is not this warm, fuzzy, anything goes, I'll never get angry kind of Jesus you hear about in our culture today. No, Jesus can get angry. Jesus can discipline us. But does that mean Jesus hates us? Does that mean Jesus hates them? No. The fact is that Jesus loves them. You see, my friends, true love does not let people do what they please, especially if what they are doing will separate them from God. Instead, true love speaks the truth to people, even when it hurts. And so here we see that Jesus will do what it takes to humble these people and bring them to repentance. Jesus wants to save them. He wants to save them from an eternal fate far worse than physical death. Now, at this point in the sermon, I want to digress for a bit. And I want to talk about the reasons that God may discipline us. We've already discussed one reason that God disciplines us. In summary, he disciplines us when we stray from the truth. He disciplines us when we give in to the desires of our sinful nature and follow the evil ways of this world. So my friends, if you do turn away from Jesus and get comfortable with your sin, then God will do whatever it takes to humble you and get your attention. That's one reason God may discipline us. However, on the other hand, sometimes Jesus puts trials into our lives for a completely different reason. For example, let's say that like the faithful Christians in Thyatira, you are also a faithful Christian. And what do I mean by faithful Christian? I mean that you know that you're a sinner and you know that's a bad thing. And you trust in Jesus as your Savior. You confess your sins and you rely on His mercy. And even though you struggle with sin, you do your best to resist the evil desires in your heart, and you try to avoid the evil temptations in the world. And when you do sin, as all of us do, you don't justify your sin, you don't excuse your sin, you don't make it out to be something good. Instead, you confess your sin. You acknowledge God's judgment against your evil thoughts or words or deeds, and then you flee to Jesus for mercy. If you're a faithful Christian, that means you trust God's word, you seek Him in prayer, and you desire to be faithful to Jesus. But guess what? Even if you are a faithful Christian, Jesus may still discipline you. Now, why is that? The Bible teaches the reason. The reason is that Jesus wants you to mature in your faith. He wants you to do even more good works for Him, just like those faithful Christians in Thyatira. And so even though it's hard for us to understand, even when we're trying to be faithful to Jesus, He may still allow us to face persecution. He may still allow us to undergo various trials in our lives. He will do this because He wants to strengthen our faith in Him and also give us an opportunity to be witnesses to others of the hope that we have in Jesus. My friends, we really, really need to understand this important truth. You see, when you suffer, that's when the devil will do all he can to deceive you. When you suffer, the devil wants you to think either that God is ignoring you, or worse yet, that God hates you. But the truth is that God always and only loves you. And the proof is that He gave His own Son to the cross, that you might be His own forever. My friends, we need to remember that God's way with us is always love. And so Jesus disciplines us for two reasons. The one is that He disciplines us if we stray away and we need to be brought to repentance. But the other reason is that He might discipline us even if we are faithful, so that our faith might mature and that He might give us an opportunity to witness to others about the hope that we have in Jesus in the midst of our trials. With that understood now, let's get back to Jesus' letter. Jesus says that He is going to discipline the Jezebel Christians in Thyatira. And the reason for this is He hopes that they will repent and be saved. But then, Jesus again addresses the faithful Christians in Thyatira. And here's what He says to them. He says, "Hold on to what you have until I come." My friends, these are words of encouragement and love. You see, Jesus knows that life for us Christians in this evil world can be very difficult. Not only do we have to face all the tragedies and difficulties common to everybody else in this world, but on top of that, we are struggling against our sinful desires and trying to do what the Lord wants. We also have to face the sinful temptations in this world and resist them while we watch others give in to them. And we also have to face the temptations of the devil. Remember, the devil works harder on us. He doesn't have to work on the unbelievers. He already has them. So he throws everything he can at us who believe. We need to be aware of these challenges. Right here in Jamestown, we can find false teaching that is contrary to God's word. Right here in Jamestown, we can find the same sexual immorality that was so popular in Thyatira. Right here in Jamestown, we are faced with numerous temptations that could lead us to engage in thoughts and words and behaviors that are contrary to God's will for our lives. Yes, there is plenty of evil right here in Jamestown that could lead any one of us to become a Jezebel Christian. My friends, as we face the evil inside of us, and as we face the evil outside of us, we may become discouraged. We may be filled with fear and guilt. Therefore, hear what Jesus says to you. He says, "Hold on. Hold on to what you have until I come." And what do you have to hold on to? You have Jesus and His Word. Jesus has given you His truth that will set you free. My friends, you are free this morning. First of all, you are free from the guilt of your sin. You can come to God with anything and confess it and know that Jesus' blood washes you clean from the guilt of your sin. In addition, you are free. You are free to live for Jesus. When the forgiveness of Jesus sets you free, you don't have to be a slave to the sins that hold so many people in bondage. Jesus will set you free to live the way God intended His people to live. My friends, Jesus wants you to hold on to His words of forgiveness. He wants you to hold on to His words of love. He wants you to hold on to His words of wisdom. But even more than that, Jesus wants you to know that He is also holding on to you. My friends, we need to remember that the basic message of the book of Revelation is this. Jesus is victorious. In other words, even though the battles in this world may be difficult, the good news is that the war is already over. You can hold on to Jesus because He is holding on to you. At the end of His letter, Jesus says that He will give you His authority. What does that mean? It means that we are victorious, even though it looks as though Christians in this world are not victorious. You see, we Christians might not appear to have much authority or influence in this evil world. In fact, in some parts of the world, Christians are persecuted intensely. But my friends, we need to remember that Jesus has already given us the victory. One day, the unbelievers of this world will see who really is in control. So even if we Christians are persecuted in this life, even if we face horrible tragedies and losses in this life, we can know that we reign with Jesus now and that we will share His authority for all eternity. That's why we hold on to Him. He is the only thing that is sure and certain in this world. In addition, Jesus says that He will give you the morning star. What does that mean? Well, the morning star stands for the last starlight that shines brightly before the sun rises. You see, light is a reminder of the glory and power of Jesus. Jesus who shines in the evil darkness of this world. So my friends, no matter how dark things may seem for us, we have the light of Jesus to give us hope. In fact, listen to what Jesus says at the very end of the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, verse 16, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the bright morning star. Jesus is our light in this world of darkness. One day, Jesus will return in all His glory, and you will then bask in the loving light of God for all time. But until that day, remember Jesus' words. Hold on to what you have until I come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.